mean, it's, I didn't know that people didn't know about this.
But that's the real world.
It is the real world. You have to face up to it, you know?
And like I said, I was going to call you and I got a big permission, but I really appreciate the fact that, because quite frankly, there's no words coming from people, not people perceived.
I'm not sure mine were ours.
Well, that I agree with, but, but substantively.
Yeah.
Yours weren't, but.
I guess so. Have you heard who signed up to take the interview? Who's coming out soon or what?
Amber, call the meeting to order.
Would they have enough time?
We'll start tonight with a public hearing for ordinance 2013-5, an ordinance granting a rear yard variance to KSI Management for property located at 210 East Orange Hill Circle. Is there anybody here tonight to speak to this public hearing? And if so, I'd like you to please stand up and speak in the microphone and say your name and address. Anybody? Okay, then we will close the public hearing and I will call the meeting to order for May 8th. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right.
Who's the mayor?
Where, can you call the roll, please? Mark him when he comes in.
He's here.
He is here. Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein? Braverman?
Here.
Perry?
You're here. Great. First, I'd like to start with a motion to approve the minutes of April 18th regular meeting. Do I have a motion, please?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. And will you second, Mrs. Kluter?
I'll second it.
Thank
yeah.
you. Any questions, comments, changes? If not, Mary, can you please call the roll?
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein? Klein?
The minutes of April 10th.
Yes.
Thank you.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, we need a motion to approve the minutes of May 1st work session. Do I have a motion? Thank you, Mr. Klein. A second? Thank you, Mr. Duber. Any questions or comments about these minutes? Being none, Mary?
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer's Report of March 2013. Do I have a motion, please?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. We have Mr. Bloom here tonight. Would you like to give us a little update to the Treasurer's Report, please?
Okay, does everybody have a copy of the front page anyway?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to note here this month. It's kind of a quiet month, but there are a few items. The general fund is the balance January 1st to March 31st is actually down about $75,000, but that's to be expected. The revenues are always lower in March every year. That's a timing issue. If you look in the March revenues column, there's one big item there, the $1 million item. That is the note issue for the service department building. That was the money that we received in early March. And if you look in the March expenses column, there's two items there that are large. The capital improvement fund line is $112,000. That's, again, service department construction. And the $41,000 below that is the lease on the police cars, the annual payment. That's the total for the year. That's about it on the summary page. The general fund, in summary, is the revenues are up about 1% over our target goal through March, and the expenses are actually below budget by about 1.5 to 2% through this point in the year, through the end of March. Are there any questions?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bloom. Any comments? Okay, Mary?
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Carey?
Yes. Next, we have a motion to approve the tax administrator's report for 2013. Do I have a motion, please? Thank you, Mr. Klein. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. The tax administrator, I didn't see this evening, but we can probably look at this together. I've been going to the meetings in Mr. Parks' absence, and it was a very interesting, I think, to see that this year we are $90,000 in the black already. If you recall, the last year or two, we've been very struggling with being under budget, and actually we're right at zero. So, good sign for the year, if you ask me. Is there anything, Mayor, I'm forgetting to talk about the tax administrator's report?
No, I don't think so. I think the numbers in the report speak for themselves, except that I could add that the first receipt for the month of May was very favorable as well.
Excellent. Great. Does anybody have any questions? Seeing none, Mary?
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Next, we have a discussion of the bills to be paid for the month of May in the amount of $227,667.44, with additional expenses of $266,196.65. I'm looking for them. Do we have the copies of these at our place?
What's
that? Oh, I might have not printed it from online. But everybody else has theirs?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Does anybody have questions about our bills this month? It seems higher. I assume it's because last month was so
low. I bring your attention once again to the general fund expenses. We're $56,777. There was $81,406 expenses for the tracks construction on Orangewood. And in the additional expenses, you'll see of the $266, $186 of that was payment on the service department. So the extraordinary expenses are what's making it seem high, all known and budgeted and expected, and the ongoing expenses are in line or low.
Question for Kathy. Orangewood Culver, we're on track, I know, with the infrastructure levy, but are we ahead for everything?
Oh, yeah.
Are we? So this money, because it seems that we've spent quite a bit of money in Orangewood, has that all been,
it was a $250,000 project, which we authorized at the end of the year. We are lucky that we could do so on an emergency basis.
Okay.
All projects have come in under budget. We've been able to hold out longer, and tonight we have one that's a little bit above what budget, but we can absorb it. We are way ahead.
What is that for?
The Stormwater Grant Fund project for the permeable surface in front of the service department.
The service department?
Yeah. Last year you authorized a grant for $160,000, which we received.
Okay. Thank you.
So we are in good shape there. And you can tell by looking in the Treasurer's report at the balance in the board.
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to make sure that we were, right on track.
Bob, I know of no project that's...
No, we still have to go out and do a review.
No, but everything's...
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Being none, Mary? We don't call the roll first. Thank you. Next, we have audience comments relating to agenda items only. Is anybody here to speak tonight about any agenda items? Okay, then we'll move on. Old business. We have ordinance number 2013-5 as amended, an ordinance granting a rear yard variance to KSI Management for property located at 210 East Orange Hill Circle. This is on for third reading tonight. It's been referred to planning and zoning, and we had our public hearing tonight, which nobody spoke at. We first need to approve the conclusions of fact, so I need a motion for that.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Thank you, Mrs. Cluder. Mary, can you call the roll?
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you all. Now, can I have a motion to approve the ordinance?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluder?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Anybody want to speak to this on council? No? Okay, Mary?
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Thank you. Next is ordinance number 2013-8, an ordinance authorizing the Woodbrand Realty Company to provide sewer service to the property owned by Joel Dam Properties LLC, located at 3855 Brainerd Road, requiring the property owner to maintain all sewer facilities located upon its property and requiring the payment of all costs and expenses incurred by the village in inspecting and permitting the proposed sewer improvement. This is on for second reading tonight. It's been unanimously approved by planning and zoning at their April 16th meeting. If there's no comments, we'll be seeing this next month. Moving on to new business, ordinance number 2013-9, an ordinance to amend the annual appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of Orange Village during the calendar year 2013 and repealing certain ordinances. This is, although this is on for first reading tonight, we're being asked to suspend the rules. So I'll take a motion to suspend the rules.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Cluder. Thank you, Mr. Klein. Mary, can you call?
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Great. Can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2013-9, please?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Bonk. Anybody want to speak about this? No?
I just want to say that it's a fantastic thing.
Thank you. Right, Mary?
Cluder?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Great. Next is ordinance number 2013-10, an ordinance reconfirming and appointing the village's participation in a pre-tax contribution for the Ohio Police and Fire Pension Fund. This is on for first reading. Anybody want to need to talk about this tonight?
Okay.
We will be talking about this also in our work session if you want to, but.
The basic question is, how does this, the law director, how does this fundamentally change what we're currently doing?
What has happened is the state has changed the rate of contributions for employees of police and fire. You don't have full-time fire, so it doesn't affect that side, but the police portion of the OPNF contribution, that is the amount you take out of their paycheck and send down to Columbus, goes up to extend the viability of that fund. They have asked that you have this in place by July, and we didn't put an emergency clause on there, so if you want to pass it in June, that would make some sense. There's zero impact on the cost of the village.
Does it have to be by the 1st of July?
Yeah.
Because if we pass it at the June council meeting, that will get us mid-July.
No, actually, isn't it the middle of, you recall?
May, June, July. So that would be.
I'm
not sure that gives us time.
The pay period in July is going to be. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So if you pass it at the June council meeting, you're good.
That would get us to, yeah.
You're good.
All right. Great, thank you. Next is ordinance number 2013-11, an ordinance enacting the Pinecrest Plan Development District, PPD, regulations and rezoning certain parcels of land from Class U1 to PPD, amending the village map and map designations, submitting the proposed district and zoning change to the voters of Orange Village and declaring an emergency. This is on for first reading tonight. And anybody need to say anything about this? Yes, Mr. Bonk?
Well, I wanted to do the traffic study. Oh, sorry.
Let Mrs. Cluder go first.
I said I wondered where the traffic study was until I found
it. And here it is.
So I have, and Judge said to me, be careful what you wish for, because this is going to be interesting.
You'll have that all figured out by tomorrow, right?
Oh, certainly.
So I
don't know.
I have a question about the traffic study too. Is this public record that we could share?
It is public record. We've given it to the engineer to do the review, and if he needs another traffic engineer, we'll engage that as well.
So this is preliminary? This isn't?
No, this is what they're...
This is their traffic study?
Yes.
But
this is the developer's traffic study. We are going to vet it on our side.
Okay. I've gotten a couple questions from community members, residents who are questioning traffic already. Is it possible to put this also on our website so that we're not photocopying 100 pages for everybody?
Mary Camden, will you send it on to Kathy Gritton?
Okay. It'd be nice.
We got a digital copy already. There's already a PDF in play somewhere, so we can get that over.
Yeah, Mary has it.
The PDF?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa, are we planning to look at this in like one whole work session at least?
We have to talk about scheduling because...
Because there's just, I'm overwhelmed. There's just so much stuff and I don't want to miss anything. So I need to be circumspect before I can tell residents what I'm doing.
And the residents would also like to hear future presentations. So we need to probably come up with a calendar for summer.
It's real important to come up with a calendar. There's a number of residents who are wondering when to come. We need to do it from a deadline, and Judd has some scheduling conflicts, and I think we need him. I think it's important that we schedule some extra meetings. We might need one in July, because we have to do it by the end of July if we're going to get on schedule.
And maybe we should schedule that extra meeting in June.
And I would like to welcome members of council to check the planning and zoning agendas for when we're discussing things there, too, if you might find it helpful for you.
Yeah.
But you do need to come up with an agenda, a schedule to deal with this. And we might need some extra meetings, folks. But some of us have been working a lot of times.
Well, we need to because you are ahead and Judd's ahead, but I certainly don't feel that I am. I need to be caught up with some of this. Oh, I know. Question for the law director. If and when this goes on the ballot, what kind of information will the voters have? I mean, they'll be going in with what to vote?
The county board of elections will have the usual, they will have probably the drawing showing the district and what the proposal is. And then it'll be up to proponents, presumably, and quite possibly opponents to get the message out as to what this does.
Okay.
Well, we'll hold meetings and make this room available for the developer to do his presentations.
Mm-hmm.
He'll have to, you know, get his information out. But everything we have will put on a website.
Mm-hmm.
So our residents can look at the traffic study. They can look at the vision statement. They can look at the plans. Anything we have, we can put on there.
Okay.
I propose, Mr. Ponk, I haven't forgotten about you, but I propose we put in our calendars June 19th and June 26th as tentative possible dates for community meetings, if possible.
Those should be work meetings in July. We need some extras, but community meetings could be after you do your work, right?
I would prefer it before we actually do our work, if possible. Before
town
hall
meetings? How can they talk about things that we haven't done yet?
We're going to have town hall meetings? Is that what you're recommending?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think we need two things. We need our own meetings, extra meetings, possibly, but we also need town hall meetings for the public, which we may or may not participate in. Yes, Mr. Ponk?
I think it's important we have town hall meetings before the legislation gets approved so that the residents have an input and can address, they can state their concerns that may or may not be on our radar so that we can address them. I mean, it's important. This is fundamentally going to change a big portion of the village. So I think that's critical that we have multiple levels of communication so they can say it before the legislation gets written and the plans are finally drawn up, because I don't think we want to do this without a top-down model. We'd like to do it from both sides.
But what are you going to discuss at these town hall meetings? At our work session, that they're all public meetings. When you're discussing the zoning code, when you're discussing the development agreement, when you're doing all that, that would be the topics.
Last presentation, the residents were not given an opportunity to question to the developer. and there was lots of people here who came solely for that purpose. And I think that was wrong, and that we didn't allow them to have an ability to address their concerns.
But we did on March 19th.
How does a town hall meeting differ from what would be a public hearing?
The public hearing is, as we had today, after the fact, where the law director wrote up his formal statement. I think we'd want to get their involvement before we move ahead. That's the fundamental difference now.
Everything we do is in public sessions, and everybody's always welcome. Planning and zoning, we've welcomed input.
But last week, nobody was allowed, the audience was not allowed to speak, so maybe we need to sort of, you know, open that up a bit.
Well, are you saying you want to ask the developer to come to another presentation?
I guess the developer or necessarily residents.
I think the developer was under the impression he was going to be doing more meetings this summer with the community members who had a vested interest to help them understand it.
I don't want to speak for the developer. I think the developer should speak for himself.
Yeah, but that was my impression.
Yeah,
the developer
that's my impression
was
too.
To
that's what
that.
He indicated the other day,
yeah.
That there would be an opportunity for him to answer
right.
as many questions.
And that's why we could, that presentation we had last week was designed just for us. We had a great deal of work to get done. We got out of here very late that night. We had to rush through a few things. So there, you know, I apologize to the public, but there wasn't an opportunity to have, a half hour more discussion on it from their perspective. Because there are opportunities later to be able to do that. Plus the developer had reassured us that anybody who has questions can also contact him directly along with all of us and administration to help answer individual questions.
Lisa,
I had.
For the council people that came March 19th, is that the kind of format you're talking about?
Yeah, March 19th I was here too, and that was also for the public. That was more so for the public.
So is that the kind of night you want to do again?
Yes.
I don't.
Why not?
I think it's, to answer Judd's question, or at least to address it, the town hall meeting ought to be a time when the public comes and asks questions
mm-hmm.
and makes comments. I don't mm-hmm. think that just repeating the presentation and then saying, gee, it's awful light, we can only take three questions and a very brief discussion, not good. I think that we have to let the public know that everything's on site. Website, that's to say.
The website.
And
right.
all the materials are available, and this town hall meeting is come with your questions. If nobody comes and nobody asks, then there'll be a very short meeting. A lot of people come with a lot of questions, then the meeting will go on a little longer. But I think that a part of the problem is that many of the members of the public, when they sit, you know, at a presentation, maybe they see what's on the screen, maybe they don't, depending on their age and so on and so forth. Maybe they picked up the materials and maybe they didn't. In the meantime, they're basically at the same place they were when they arrived after some of these presentations, because they are so involved. I mean, this is a major
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to ask the public to rise to the occasion and do their homework before coming to a town hall meeting with questions or comments.
Do you think we need to do our homework first? We haven't finished our homework yet.
Well,
it's
I agree
a work
with
in
her.
Progress.
I agree with her. We need, I mean, this is the biggest thing that has impacted the community. And what most people are reading is what they're reading in the newspapers. And so the phone calls I'm getting is, well, I read this, and how is this going to affect me or them or so on? I think it will be vital, especially for us as a legislative body, to at least make it available to this community. And however it plays out, it plays out. But we owe it to them. I mean, I don't want somebody retrospectively to say, you didn't do your job because we weren't allowed to come in and speak to whatever. So that's where I'm coming from. And I'm happy to come to extra meetings, whatever you want us to do.
You know, these major projects wind up with Francis lying down in front of the bulldozer when we're talking about Harvard
Not
Road.
Quite.
We can't have that going on. We have to get the information out in front, and then people can ask their questions before
That's
we
cute.
Have that kind of
I think
shenanigans.
Mr. Burns can probably solve some of our problems. So.
Well, let me try and address some of the issues that are coming up here. On behalf of Lewanski Development, we agree that the public does need to be involved and have the opportunity to ask those questions, and not that they don't have that opportunity at meetings that will go forward before this body or before the Planning and Zoning Commission, but as I said to some of the residents who were here last week, some of them may not feel comfortable standing up at a meeting like this and posing these kinds of questions. They may be more comfortable in a more informal setting, and we have every intention of providing those opportunities. And frankly, I think we anticipated that we would do that while council and the planning commission were considering the legislation that's before it and after. As for particular dates, frankly, to make it a useful exercise, I'd want to make sure that the team of people, or as many of those team members who you saw last week, are at the meeting. So while happy to take back proposed dates for that kind of meeting, I'd simply ask for a little bit of flexibility, and maybe we would do a couple of meetings on a couple of different days. Maybe Mondays work well for some residents and Thursdays for others. And again, just want to make sure that people have ample opportunity so they do feel that they've had the chance to have their questions posed and answered.
You want the village to host these and put out dates and put it on the newsletter and arrange for them to be here?
And probably send even postcards or do a reverse 911, one or the other. My personal feeling is that you can't be having too many meetings. You know, if you only get a handful of people, we can cut back. But I like the idea of having at least one before council votes in July, and then scheduling probably one a month after that, for instance, until the election, if you wanted to do it that way.
Oh, okay, we can look at that kind of schedule. Sure.
Well, as I see it, there's two kinds of meetings that is to take some input from the community,
yep,
that we need to incorporate into our thinking relative to the design of the legislation and the zoning and the development agreement that we're all being worked on presently. Before those are concluded, we need to have that public input on those documents. We have to have those a little further along in the process, so that they are better vetted for that purpose. The second kind of meeting that we need to have is a successor to that, and that is really to allow the developer to kind of fully respond to questions from the audience about the project and who they are and what they're doing. And then beyond that, town meetings that just either promote the project by the developer and the community. And I would assume if we are in support of it and we put it to the ballot, we're going to be working in lockstep to produce this. And we need to have an engagement where the public can dialogue with all the people involved in the project to make sure their voices clearly heard, and all the issues have been put on the floor and the table and have been addressed in one way or another.
I think the March 19th meeting addressed that first meeting.
Not all together. The March 19th was before we really started our investigation of the zoning regulations. And I think we need to look at it at a point when we have the zoning regulations more fully complete than in the land.
I was just thinking in terms of the developer, I guess making a presentation, otherwise there's nothing.
Can you speak in the microphone, please?
Ask about, right?
Well, as far as the developer's presentation, I think he can't say it often enough.
Right.
To make the case for the project.
I mean, on the other hand, I think the point here is the public, by and large, does not come in with the kinds of questions that the governing bodies have to answer technically in order to say, okay, this is a project that belongs on our ballot for consideration. I think the public wants to come in and answer a bunch of threshold questions which have to do, you know, with what's in it for me, as I mentioned at one of our previous meetings, and how is this going to work, and so on and so forth. That's a little bit different from what the either planning and zoning or this council does to help the developer, if you will, get this thing in shape so that it meets our regulations, and then therefore can be put on the ballot for an up or down vote. I think the public, as I say, I think they have to rise to the occasion, look at the information that's either presented on our website or in other initial meetings, not initial, but future meetings, that may address these points, and then they have to come in, you know, if they can't be present, maybe we should even give them the opportunity to submit questions in writing. Maybe we should invite them to do that in any correspondence that goes out, so that we know what the public is thinking, and those topics can be discussed at least once, if not more frequently, you know, at the town hall, so-called town hall meetings. That's really what I think we need to do. I think that...
So I'm hearing that we should arrange a meeting for Dave Lewansky to make a presentation, maybe in early June, and we should have more meetings where we're doing our council work, detail, public hearing in July, and then more Dave Lewansky meetings.
Right. And then for us, so we've got the public meetings for the residents, and then for us, let's just tentatively open our calendars for June 19th and June 26th so that we have a little bit of freedom. If we go, we have work sessions to talk about this. We can hopefully, usually in the summer, our calendar is a little light, so we should be able to spend some time at every work session, but if we need to go over, this will be some dates that we have to meet just to talk about that before voting in July. Yes, Mr. Bond?
I've got a couple of things. I would like to see exhibits B and C that are by reference that are in there. I did have a couple residents ask, why does this piece of legislation meet the standard of an emergency?
Yeah, it's a special kind of emergency. If you look at the emergency clause,
I read the clause, and is it you're it, claiming this is general welfare? Or?
No, it in order for something to get on the ballot in time, it has to be effective prior to August 7th.
I understand, but does that meet the that's a deadline. Does that meet the emergency?
It's a legitimate reason to make it an emergency.
Okay, I mean, I couldn't come up with it, but if it's to meet an election deadline. The next question is, if we do not make this general election this November, when is the next general election?
General elections are held in November. That's
just it, so it's
but there could be special elections.
There will be a May primary in 2014. And there can be special elections.
If we miss the November deadline, it could come up by in May of 2014.
Or a special election between now and May.
Yes.
If you chose to do that.
I mean,
I think we have to really aim for doing this work over the summer and really doing our best to meet the deadlines that we're given as best as possible. I was interested in that.
I had at the last meeting, I specifically asked the developer three questions, and they said they would get back to me, and I've not heard a response for them. And I did take a look at the income tax, because that seems to be the only hard number out there. And if you take the promised income taxes divided by the number of jobs, and if you say 100% are full-time, 40-hour a week, it averages about $16.01 an hour. If you do a mix of 50-50, full-time, part-time, you get an average wage of $19.71. And if you want to pay for the management argument, you take $1 from all the workers, and that will give the average manager, the top 100, an extra $12 an hour. I don't know where retailers and service industries pay this level of wages. I've checked called the Apple store, which has got the highest margins and the highest paid people. They don't pay this kind of money. So I would like to see how they came up in detail the promised tax revenue, because that's really the income tax wages. I'm very skeptical of that. The inferred stuff, which was later, I don't, like I said,
it, the numbers don't match, and if they do, I would love to see how they got to where they are.
These are the kind of questions we need them here for.
This is actually a really good question, and Mr. Burns, can you connect Mr. Bonk with that man who's the financial person, and Mr. Bonk could report back to council answers.
Or have the guy here in public.
Yeah, well, what I did, then they cut this out.
Dave Hart has also inquired about those numbers and is soliciting a response on behalf of the city because he expressed some concern as to how they came to those, some of those conclusions.
And the only thing I was going to add along the same lines is, in fact, I believe that, that David Hart and Greg Myers, who prepared the tax impact analysis, actually met earlier this week to go over just some of those kinds of questions. So I will, one way or another, I will make certain that either you're put directly in touch with Greg Myers, who you're welcome to be in touch with regardless, but also if David Hart has explored some of those same kinds of issues, to make certain that that information gets back to council.
It would be good to have the experts and the professionals back here to be asked these kind of questions in public so everybody can hear.
Absolutely.
Well, that's
one of the sessions.
Well, it is, but it's, I mean, I think that there are two sessions there. There's one where they talk to the public. I think that's important.
Right.
Then I think there's a meeting for the public talking to its professionals, Dave Hart, P&Z, anybody else in-house that's working on any aspect of the thing. And, you know, instead of getting, not, you know, all, you know, present company excluded, obviously, you know, I mean, there's a lot of tap dancing in the answers to some of these questions, and you can walk out of the room knowing as little as you came in knowing, even after a couple of hours in a meeting, because, you know, the developer and his team are, whether they care to describe themselves in this fashion or not, I mean, they're presenting information, but they're also selling. So naturally, their word selection, if you want to get down to that detailed level, is going to be a certain kind of word selection, and that's who they are. That's who they should be. No complaints about that. On the other hand, I think the public also has a right to a meeting in a project of this size, and to be able to talk to the people who are looking at it for them and get kind of an unvarnished response to any of the questions they have, and certainly to all of the important facets of the program.
That should be after everyone's had a chance to hear their answers.
Absolutely.
So we feel like we wouldn't want data.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We have to have our own input first, absolutely. I'm just saying what the order is necessarily, but I think the public has to be given the opportunity to ask those questions of us, if you will.
After we get answers.
Well, right, absolutely. But so that we can express it to them in the, you know, the straight language, that's the right phrase, of elected official to resident.
Lisa, the other thing you should ask council to keep open, and I don't mean to speak for Councilman Klein, but if we are looking to have a vote, if we're going to make the deadline, then we may need to have a meeting later in July, because personally, I think it's important that all the council people be here, and Mr. Klein cannot be here on July 10th, which would be the council meeting where the third vote would be taken.
Okay. What is our absolute drop dead date if we went to July 17th?
I think that's it, isn't it?
I think that's too late.
No. If you pass it, if you have five votes for that makes the emergency clause effective, drop dead date is
August 6th.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we had to have it. Okay. So please tentatively open your calendars for July 17th, just in case we need it. Sorry, it's going to be a tough summer, you guys.
Yeah, we'll take September off.
Okay. And we have to run for election. So, okay, any other questions? Thank you for being here tonight, Mr. Burns. We appreciate that. Okay, moving on. We have Resolution 2013-5, a resolution authorizing the mayor to enter into a restated and amended agreement continuing the Chagrin Valley Dispatch Council and declaring an emergency. This is on for first reading, but we're going to ask for a suspension of the rules.
I wish the police chief was here.
And may I have a motion to suspend the rules?
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. A second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Mary, can you call the roll?
Duber?
Yes.
Kluter?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Great. Now I'd like a motion to adopt resolution 2013-5, please. Thank you, Mr. Klein. Second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. Any questions, comments?
This is the money that we're going to spend to...
No, the money that we're going to spend, you've already approved.
That's the VERCOG?
In 2013-9. This is the restated amendment, which allows us to take other partners in and defines how that money we just approved.
Okay.
And allows them to move to the less expensive space.
Yeah.
So Gates Mills is our
looking
last
real close
person. That's great. And I hope it works out. And if others wanted to join in the future, I know we're not really anxiously trying to get people right now, but in the future, this document
dictates
this
how
resolution.
We go about allowing others in.
All others, okay. Great. Any other questions?
Which requires the VERCOG then to vote based on the numbers that get negotiated. The mayors. Oh, Chagrin Regional Dispatch Cog.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mary, will you call the roll?
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, I need a motion to authorize the mayor to declare the attached list surplus material. Motion, please.
Motion made.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Duber. Any comments?
I have a question. Will all these, this is the list of weapons, right?
Will they all be leaving the village?
Could you address, I have questions also.
Will all those weapons be leaving the village, Chief?
It's the little thing.
Mom, just, no.
We.
Yeah. I mean, you have a buyer.
We do.
He's not a resident.
He's not.
And he's not going to be selling to residents.
He can sell to anybody.
Well, he can. He's in Southern Ohio. Who's the person we buy our ammunition from.
Where is he?
Southern Ohio. I'm not exactly sure the location.
Okay, so it's not likely.
It's not likely.
Yeah, okay.
Two questions. We got the guns, you said, from criminal activity and people who turned them in. Is that
both
correct?
Both, correct.
And I guess my question is, when the residents gave them to you, what was the expectation that they'd be destroyed or melted down, or we're going to go sell them and make money, or you have no idea?
I don't have what they didn't want is to have it in their home any longer.
Okay.
That was every person that came in was, I don't like guns, I don't want this gun.
Okay, so so based on what you're saying is they weren't gun people, for lack of a better word, and they didn't feel comfortable with them. And
normally it was after a spouse died that owned the gun and they didn't want in the house any longer.
Second question is, the guns that you got from criminals, what is the, I mean, is this, I mean, what, we're, I mean, I just feel we, if they were used in a crime or was an illegal activity, is this really the right thing the village wants to do is put them back out on the streets? And especially with the homeowners who also had an intent to have them destroyed or taken away from them. I'm trying to visualize my aunt who turned her gun over to the police department years ago, who's deceased, and would be saying, I can't imagine her thinking that the village, and it wasn't here, it would be enriched by her taking this gun off the street. What kind of crime, were these guns used in criminal activity or in?
Correct, it would be somebody that would may have had the gun in their vehicle and they weren't allowed to have guns. The gun may have been used.
Okay, so they were illegal possession.
Okay. Correct, or used illegally, right.
And what was the last time the village did this?
With guns?
Yeah, with guns, dispose of guns this way.
Probably not during my chiefdom.
Okay,
it would have been through Chief Shields or Chief Westerberg.
For the estimated money you talked about, the $2,000, wouldn't the village just be better off making sure that they're not on the streets?
I guess that's for you to decide.
Well,
You take gun meltdown programs, which are done all the time.
Here's my opinion on this. If a criminal wants to get a gun, they're going to get a gun. These you know, guns, we're not like selling them to criminals on the street on the black market, you know, flipping guns, trying to make a couple bucks. I mean, they're being sold to a reputable dealer.
We wish that these were the guns that they were carrying, the condition these were in.
But, I mean, this is, like you said, these are mostly parts.
They're
going to
be, most of them are going to be parted out.
It's like when people buy junk cars for parts. I mean,
regular people buy guns also, not just bad guys.
That's true.
I just thought I'd let you know.
No, actually, let me explain. I believe citizens have a right to legal firearms, and when they are illegal, the full force of the law should come down on them. And I guess we can talk later about how did we prosecute and how far did we go on this. I mean,
But isn't that the same of us saying anytime we, you know, go ahead and get money on a drug bust that we just light the money on fire because it was used for illegal purposes?
The drug bust money is much more fungible, and it's taking money off the streets.
Well, what about when we
have to use it for the police to enforce the drug bust?
When we get a car? You know, we have the Escalade. I mean, that was a drug car. What about that? I mean, how do we pick and choose what we're going to make money on and what we're not?
I think the real issue is, for a couple grand, do we want to have the village in a place where the chain of ownership of a particular weapon used in a way that we would not have liked it to be used comes back through and has the name of Orange Village somewhere on it? Whether it's legitimate or not, that's fine. It's just a question whether, for $2,000 or so, you want to have these pieces, parts out there where the situation could come back in the face more as a PR matter, not so much as a legal matter, to the village. That's just the question. But I think the, you know, one of the, I would guess that if we were talking about guns in general and not necessarily guns that don't work, since I have no idea whether they work or not, you know, I'd rather see the guns taken off the streets and not leaving the village exposed to that chain of ownership in some kind of story that we would find at least undesirable, if not downright embarrassing. You know, for $2,000, is it worth it? That's the whole question. I don't think it's an anti-gun comment by, you know, that any comments are being made here about anti-gun. I think it's just about, you know, what does a political subdivision do when it has a bunch of weaponry that it doesn't need? Does it cast it on the waters for a couple grand, or does it keep it out of circulation permanently?
Then the next question is, if we don't pass this, what happens to all this weaponry? And then what are we going to do with it? So,
well, we wait for Cleveland to have a gun buyback.
then those go back on the street.
No.
I wonder how much it would cost us to dispose of these weapons in one of those ways that melts them or whatever it does. I mean, this way we're going to get $2,000, right? But we risk possibly these guns getting in circulation, possibly, but in a legal way, right? And then the other way would be to destroy them, and that's going to end up costing us money.
Well,
usually
you get paid when they have the gun buybacks, or they collect them free. I mean,
no, they don't.
No, they melt them. They have a big to do where all the politicians watch the big melt. I think we would want. Can I make a motion to let us think about this one for another meeting?
Those guns have been sitting in the evidence room for a long time. I think they can sit as long as they can sit there for eternity. It makes no difference to me.
I've never thought about it this way. It's very interesting, especially given my liberal leanings. But are there places we could have them? I mean, I just thought how clever of him to take a resource that's doing nothing and turn it into something meaningful for our residents. You know, I think that's very efficient in trying to make every penny work for our residents. But is there a gun meltdown somewhere if we want to take a moral?
A lot of steel mills stopped accepting the guns from the police departments because when they gave them to them, sometimes the guns weren't emptied. And bad things happened at the steel mills. We just had a discussion. We understand that there may be a place in Eaton that's still
Eaton is where?
I think Eaton Township out.
So it cost us money to go take them out there?
If nothing else,
to
drive.
Huh?
Except if it doesn't cost us anything else, it would be at least be the drive out there.
Well, that's resources costing money.
Let's, if you could do a little research for us about how we could possibly dispose of them.
We can just get them melted down.
For free? Or what that cost would be?
It probably wouldn't be very costly.
Yeah, if you could come back to us next month and let us know. We will.
Let's assume for this conversation, so I don't have to talk about this anymore, that they can be melted down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'd want to know what it costs us to get them melted down. I don't spend a lot of money melting them down.
No, no.
I'm kind of feeling that they're doing just well in that locker room. We could just leave them in there for another decade. It makes no difference to me.
But just left there on their own, somebody could remove them, and they then find the right guy.
Well, then we have a big problem.
They're still in circulation. The trick is to get them out of circulation. So.
Yeah. And
you mean,
yeah,
can we leave them in the evidence room? Well, if somebody gets them in there, that's a bigger problem than just somebody taking
sure
guns. I don't think we have to.
I was just doing this because I thought it was a clever way to get rid of some things out of there and be able to. It makes no difference to me. If you wish to do it the other way, I can spend the $2,000 on ammunition from the budget. It makes no difference to me.
Right. It's not. It's not a big number either way, and the question is whether there's any liability. Not liability is not right the right word. It's not even moral. I mean, it's just bad PR to read in the paper that a gun that you once had control of it got out there and did something terrible. Somebody did something. Not the gun, of course.
Well, don't. Questions all done?
I want to know.
Yes, Mayor.
You can have them disposed of somehow.
Well, I was checking with Bob. I didn't know if he had something good in the new service department that might be able to melt those babies right down.
In the new paving.
All right. So I have some homework to do on those guns.
I was told that the only one that was anything was the interim general.
Cleveland.
All right, thank you.
Mr.
Thank
Bond
you, Chief.
Seems to think that Cleveland does this every once in a while.
Cleveland used to do that in Cleveland.
Do you know how many of them are even workable? Are most of them just good for parts?
Let me.
This is going way deeper than I anticipated it to.
It's always the little things.
I think we're ready to move on, so
that's
I'm gonna end the discussion with this. And Mrs. Kluter, can you withdraw your motion, please?
Yes.
And
motion withdrawn.
Mr. Duber, can you withdraw your second?
Sure. Yes.
And we'll come back to this next month when we have a little bit more information. Thank you. Sorry, Chief.
Okay.
So next, we need a motion to authorize the mayor to enter in an agreement with BNC Communications in the amount of $24,408 for the purpose of communications for the police department. Do I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Klein. Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Kluter. And discussion? Anybody?
I just remind everybody this is exactly the amount of money we're going to be reimbursed for a piece of communication equipment that will have a lot of use.
Okay, great. Anybody have questions? Comments? Mary, can you call the roll, please?
Kluter?
Yes.
Duber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Next, any motion for the to authorize the clerk of council to advertise for bids for the service facility parking lot retrofit project. Do I have a motion to do this? Thank you. Mr. Klein, a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Braverman. Mayor, can you fill us in on this project?
I certainly can. You have in your packet or at the desk an estimate from the village engineer. In the letter, he indicates that the estimate is higher than he originally thought, but we don't really know what it's going to be until we go out to bid. So why don't we go out to bid and talk about it when the bids come in? And I'd like to remind everybody that we have already been granted $160,000 towards this project.
75, it looks like.
How much?
Well, it looks like 175.
Well, that includes the design work.
Right.
So we have $170,000 that is already coming. We're going to need to put something there. If the green cutting edge permeable surface one is more than we want to spend, we
turn down the grant of $170-some thousand, we still have to put pavement and surface in there. So I think the best course of action is to go for bid, see what we get, and then we can talk about whether the grant is enough or how much it's going to cost us to see it through. Actually, we know the grant's not enough because when we applied for the grant, we knew it was some portion of the project.
Yeah.
The engineer is just letting us know that on further look, it's a little more than he originally thought. But we've also expanded it a little bit, too.
No, there's some other complicating issues that have come into play that have resulted in that expansion, which involve soil conditions
and soil disposal.
And removal.
Hmm. And we've added the area to create a recycling center. So let's go to bid, and then we'll see where we're at.
Can I just ask a quick question? The word observation in the letter, is that inspection? Is that done by your office as opposed to our people?
Yeah.
It is? Okay. Okay.
I know this is just an estimate, but what percentage is the $160,000 do you suspect from what the bids will come in at approximately?
Like about half.
Well, how much are you expecting the greenest project proposal to be?
That's what he gave you. That's the estimate, Lisa, the 300.
Oh.
That's what he's estimating.
The 300. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, basically our grants are going to cover
half of it. Okay. Great, thank you. Mr. Bond?
If, and I know this is going to be a guesstimate, if we did not do the permeable semi, the specialized concrete, the permeable, what would it be of just using conventional concrete, do you think?
A mess.
The thing is, you know, if you just went and put the driveway in, stuff, you probably spend $100,000 just to put the driveway in. I mean, taking into account, you know, you're also doing the bio retention, you're also doing, you know, all the permeable pavement, the extra driveway, and all that stuff. So, I mean.
Okay, so the cost of what, I guess what I'm saying is we just went normal conventional technology. Okay. That's.
So you really have 265 to break even, and then the rest is for the.
Right. Where that's exactly where I was going. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Will we have a price for next month? Will the bid come back by next month?
Mary, will you call the roll?
Kluter?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Klein?
Yes.
Braverman?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes. Great. Next is committee reports by council members. We'll start with Mr. Duber tonight.
I have no report today.
Thank you. Mr. Bonk?
No report today.
Mr. Braverman?
I will report briefly on the garden of the Orange Village Garden, which has been rototilled and has water running and is ready for production.
Excellent.
And people are out there doing their thing.
I saw three people there tonight. Grow the tomatoes.
I'll have the tomatoes.
There you are.
I'll have tomatoes as well.
Great, Mrs. Kluter?
No committee report.
Mr. Klein?